Good morning, everyone. Welcome to our service today. Let's open in prayer. Lord, as we come to worship you today, would you open our ears to hear your voice and open our hearts to respond? May we come to know you better through your word, your presence, and your spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to sing two hymns, start with Lord, You Have My Heart, and we'll go on to Majesty.
Lord, You have my heart, and I will search for yours. Jesus, take my life and lead me on. Lord, You have my heart, and I will search for yours. Let me be to you a sacrifice, and I will praise you, Lord.
I will praise you.
And I will sing of love come down.
I will sing of love come down.
As you show. We'll see your glory here. Lord, you have my heart, and I will search for yours. Jesus, take my life and lead me on. Lord, you have my heart, and I will search for yours. Let me be to you a sacrifice.
Our reading this morning is from Matthew 8, verses 1 to 13. When Jesus came down from the mountainside, large crowds followed him. A man with leprosy came and knelt before him and said, "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean." Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. "I am willing," he said. "Be clean." Immediately, he was cleansed of his leprosy. Then Jesus said to him, "See that you don't tell anyone, but go, show yourself to the priest, and offer the gift Moses commanded as a testimony to them." When Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him asking for help. "Lord," he said, "my servant lies at home paralyzed, suffering terribly." Jesus said to him, "Shall I come and heal him?" The centurion replied, "Lord, I do not deserve to have you come under my roof, but just say the word, and my servant will be healed. For I myself am a man under authority, with soldiers under me. I tell this one, go, and he goes, and that one, come, and he comes. I say to my servant, do this, and he does it." When Jesus heard this, he was amazed and said to those following him, "Truly I tell you, I have not found anyone in Israel with such great faith. I say to you that many will come from the east and the west and will take their places at the feast with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the subjects of the kingdom will be thrown outside into the darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Then Jesus said to the centurion, "Go, let it be done just as you believed it would." And his servant was healed at that moment. We read today of two people who came to Jesus. The first, a leper, an outcast, unclean and contagious. These guys were meant to isolate themselves in colonies outside the town so as not to infect anyone else. We think 2 meters social distancing is harsh. They had to walk around with a bell shouting, "Unclean, unclean," so that nobody came anywhere near them. What's the place of such a person in God's plan? Surely there isn't one. What about the second person? He's an important person, a commander of the army. He has servants and has authority, but he's also a Roman. He's always going to be viewed with suspicion or even dislike by the Jews who are enduring Roman occupation. He's the enemy, and what's more, an enemy with power. Surely he has no place in God's plan either. But what's Jesus' reaction to these two men? To the unclean man, he reaches out and touches him. He bridges that social distancing. You would think he's putting himself in danger. But such is the power of God that Jesus isn't infected with the man's uncleanness, but the man is cleansed by Jesus' holiness. He's made clean. And when Luke tells the story, he says, news about him, that's Jesus, spread all the more. This unclean outcast had a role in the spreading of the news of God's love for every person. As Jesus turns to the Roman centurion, not as an enemy, but as a friend, he would go into the house of this Gentile, again a taboo in Jewish society, to heal a servant, a nobody. The centurion may have been important to the Romans, he was not to the Jews. The servant probably wasn't important to either. But Jesus says, "I will go." The centurion, for his part, recognizes Jesus' authority and has faith in his power. "More faith even than the Jews do," says Jesus. So Jesus heals the servant, commends the man's faith, and uses the time as a teaching point to explain to the Jews that it's not their heritage that makes them God's people, but their faith. Two people, the last you would expect to matter to the Son of God, the last you would expect to play any role in God's kingdom plans, yet Jesus reaches out, touches, heals, and uses them for his glory. We've been talking recently about our front lines, our everyday, seemingly insignificant lives that can be used by God. We've seen that we can make a difference in the world. We've seen that God can use us wherever we are. We've seen that God can use us in whatever we're doing as we work for him. Today we learn that God loves us and can use us whoever we are. Whatever our background, whatever our health, whatever our race, whatever our status, he can turn it around when we respond to him in faith. He calls us and makes us sons of God, parts of his body. Reading again, this time from Galatians 3, verses 26 to 29. So in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free, nor is there male and female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. If you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Whoever we are, or whoever we were, when we believed in Jesus and were baptized into his name, we became children of God. No longer under the constraints of the past or the regulations of religion or the burdens of tradition, as Nick told us last week, but with freedom as children of God to call on him as our Father and live in relationship with him. Jesus reaches out, touches us, turns our lives and our pasts around and uses them for his glory. As you know, if you've been joining in our sermons over the past month or so, I've been interviewing various people from the church about their experiences with God in their everyday lives. There's a danger in that, in that you might start to think that only certain types of people, which happen to be the types of people confident enough to be interviewed in that way, are able to be used by God, able to live out their faith. Everyone I've interviewed has been in some type of leadership position within the church or outside it. They've all been men. They've all been in the church for a long time. Maybe this is what you need to be able to follow Jesus or to do anything for him. Today I tell you no. If you believe in Jesus, if you follow him, then you become a child of God, a part of his story and his plan. Christian faith is a journey and we all start somewhere. God is at work in the life of the newest believer, even the life of the one who's just started to seek him. Faith doesn't have to be fully formed before it counts as faith. Truth doesn't have to be fully understood before we can accept it. Otherwise, none of us would be counted as real Christians. There's always more to learn, more ways to grow. What matters is that we're on the journey. For that reason, today I'm going to invite a couple of people to share their stories with you. The first, I'm going to blank out the picture for reasons which will become obvious, but I'm sure you'll recognise her voice. And we'll follow the format we've been using of talking about this time tomorrow. So, Katie, I wanted to ask you some questions. If you imagine that today is Sunday, tell us what you'll be doing tomorrow.
I'll be at school.
Okay. What do you like about it then?
What I like about school is that I can help people at school when they need help, but I still have to stay social distance, so I've got to keep that in mind. But also the teachers are really nice there, and it can be quite fun.
Okay. And what do you find difficult about it there?
Some of the work's quite difficult. Where we've been having to do year six work for the past few weeks, some of it's been a bit difficult, especially since I'm only in year five.
Fair enough. So, Katie, we talk at church about how to behave and how to live out being a Christian. What sort of things that we talk about at church as followers of Jesus affect how you act at school?
Sorry?
So when we're at church, we learn things from the Bible and things about how Jesus wants us to act.
Yeah.
What sort of things that we learn at church affect how you act at school?
The Ten Commandments.
Okay.
And where God tells us to be kind to each other, it helps you be kind and help people and befriend each other and make friends.
So do you think when you're at school you can do things for God?
Yes, I do.
What sort of things?
So at school, if you're doing through difficult times, then you could pray to God. When someone else is in trouble, like when someone else is in need of help, you can help them, which is helping God. And also you could help people learn about him.
Cool. And how can we pray for you at school?
That's a bit of a difficult one.
So if we said we wanted to pray for you at school, how would you want God to help you at school?
By helping me with the work when it's really difficult.
Okay. Can we pray now?
Yeah.
Let's pray. Dear God, please would you be with Caitlin at school? Help her with the work when it gets difficult. Help her with her relationships with her friends and her teachers. And help her as she goes up into year six to be in a nice group and to continue to follow your commands and help people and love people in the way that you want her to. Amen.
Amen.
Thanks, Katie.
It's all right.
Thank you, Katie. You know, age is among the things that doesn't matter to God. Just because Katie's my child doesn't mean she isn't God's too, on her own journey of faith and able to be used by him in her own front line. My second interview today is from someone who hasn't been into church for a while due to ill health and is more or less housebound, but is finding that God is with her and using her just the same. So tell us about where you'll be this time tomorrow.
Right. Well, I know you've pre-recorded this. I'm probably going to be sitting in the lounge colouring in my new book that my sister sent me, with my new pens that my sister sent me. I'll possibly be cross-stitching. If Julie's in the room with me, we'll probably have a box set on. And Fridays is Death in Paradise. We have a different box set for every day, so that we can actually differentiate what day it is. Probably being Friday, be trying to work out what we have for lunch, because we have Meals on Wheels on a Sunday to a Thursday, mostly because the health has deteriorated so much since we got here, that we were literally just getting up, cooking, eating and going back to bed. But Fridays we fend for ourselves. That's probably what I'll be doing tomorrow if it's Friday. If tomorrow is Monday, I'll probably be waiting for patient transport. Julie and I have both got diabetic eye screenings. Then if the weather's fine and we don't feel too exhausted by the trip out, we might go down to the beach and for a couple of hours and then get a taxi home. And then we have another box set.
Cool. So my next question was going to be, what do you like about it there?
You know, since having moved down to Eastbourne, moving back down south, as they keep telling me up there, it was down south. It's been great. It's almost like coming home. Yeah, I feel good. It's nice. It's generally peaceful, although we've had a few difficult times with the slight lessening of lockdown. They've been partying over the back of Asda's on the service road. So that's that. We've moved to a residential park. Used to be a holiday park, but was transferred into residential in the early 70s. We've been fairly lucky with the immediate neighbours. They're very good, very, very nice people. Two of the guys have been in several times and helped us around the house. So they're really good. The lady next door on the other side can be challenging, but she did us a lovely brock and tea for elevenses the other day with cake and fruit all mixed in with alcohol. Lots of alcohol. We can hear the sea, and when it's really rough, we can actually hear the sea. And sometimes we can smell it when the wind's in the right direction. I've joined a local Facebook group. There's somebody out on the harbour taking photographs all the time, sometimes of the boats, sometimes of the sea, the seals, the sunsets and the sunrises, which are absolutely spectacular down here. So that's good. I'm hoping, hopefully soon, we'll be able to get down there. I haven't been able to get down there since early December. I'm missing that. I'm missing the seaside, but I do love the seaside, so that's good. So yeah, I do love it. I like almost everything about it. The only thing I'm not really keen on is the distance we are from everybody. And because of health, we can't drive. That's it at the moment.
So what's the pressure point there for you?
What is the pressure point? If I was at work, I could easily say Dawn was my pressure point. That would be the one thing that would always set me off. That would be the one thing that would always send me off. So I'm guessing the basis of that question in my life is, what are the things that set me to praying for God to act in the situations? And at the moment, the biggest thing, I think, is our health. Julie was not healthy when we moved down, and because of difficulty with doctors, that has deteriorated and she's really bad. And because with my own health as well, with my legs failing and my head pains, and being housebound is just really frustrating, because I've always been able to do it. Even when we came down in the summer, I was walking 2 or 3, 4 miles a day quite happily, and then using the stairs to get up to the hotel room. Now I'm struggling today because I had an MRI last night, and the muscles in my thighs are really aching, and when I get up to walk, it's like jelly. So that's one of the pressure points, is purely that. Shutdown. It's worried me from the beginning. I'm more than happy to stay in my place and not go out. Lockdown in itself has really become a problem for me. So what we're hoping now with the lifting in lockdown is that we can get a taxi to the seaside toilets and have a picnic. Maybe get onto the beach for a few hours and then just get a cab home. Julie had me giggling when I said that earlier, but yeah, we managed that. Yeah. The other main pressure point, our two direct neighbours clash. They're polite for the sake of others, and especially for us, because neither of them wants to see us put in a position of difficulty. So that's a big pressure point, because we just always feel as if we're on edge when we talk to them. The other thing is just not being able to drive. You know, I'd love to be able to get over to see my dad and Devon and my sister up with you, and Matthew. I haven't seen Matthew since we moved in November, other than on Zoom. And neither of us drive. So that's a big pressure point, is if we do have a good day, it's not a case of just picking up and saying, right, come on, let's get in the car and go out. We're reliant on Steve, the taxi man, who's lovely. They did make me laugh yesterday. As we pulled up in the cab from the MRI, the guy in the flat or the bungalow opposite came tearing out, waving his arms with a big smile. He says, oh, it's my wife, it's my wife, it's my wife. And he looked through the window and said, oh, it's you. I said, oh, thanks. And I got out the cab, and Steve's standing there talking to him and saying, "You wouldn't want to marry her, she's trouble." Wait a minute, I am here.
You know, Chanel.
Yeah. Hang on a minute, you two. You know, I am actually here. Mobility and getting around is a pressure point. So I spend a lot of time in prayer. When I'm colouring, when I'm cross-stitching, when I've got the music on, when I'm laying in bed because sitting up hurts, etc. So, yeah, they're my pressure points.
And what do you think God's purpose might be for you there at the minute?
Julie and I have been discussing it a lot recently because I really don't know. You know, when we moved, I couldn't work because of the head pains and the coccyx. But actually, since we've moved, my legs have got so bad that I can't even leave the house very easily, let alone go out to work. So whereas normally I would say God's put me in a work position to deal with those around me, it's not really been easy to see what God's put me here for. But also in saying that, I'm feeling a lot of rest in me, listen to me, abide in me, just refresh and renew. So I think there's that. We had a wonderful service that we watched online from the minister in Winnipeg, over in Canada, on the living tabernacle, and us being the living tabernacle and having God in us. And before that, I'd never actually really thought about God being in me. You know, I knew that I was the temple of the Holy Spirit, and I knew that I was part of the body of Christ, the bride of Christ. But God had always been external, maybe next to me, maybe walking beside me, always present, all-knowing, but always external. And this brought in a completely open, it was like a fireball hit me. And it's made real, real differences to me. I want to spend more time with my Bible, with worship songs, worshipping God, feeling the fire in me. But it's also changed the things that I watch. Like I said, you know, I used to have box sets every day. Mondays would be Criminal Minds, Fridays would be NCIS. And much as I love both of them, and will probably go back at some time to watching them dipping in and out, they were feeling very dark and oppressive, as if the storylines were pressing down on me and churning me up inside. So we've actually changed the day. Let's say Monday now we're watching House, and on Fridays we're watching Death in Paradise. That's really changed me profoundly, as saying what I watch, what I listen to. When I think, right, okay, I'm going to put some music on, I go to worship praise lists rather than Westlife or Brian Adams at the moment, which are, because that's always been my go-to. And it's just really different. The neighbours have noticed a difference. Julie says she's really noticed a difference. But the neighbour that we have some issues with, she's noticed a difference. She is leaning towards Buddhist at the moment, but she does it, she wants to talk about religion when she's on a wind-up, and she wants to try and catch, it's almost as if she wants to try and catch me out, and that, you know, you can't be the good Christian you say you are, because, but on the whole, I feel amazing. It's great. I've just got like this overwhelming bubble, and I just want to praise all the time. It's really, really profoundly made a difference, and it just all came together over a period of 2 weeks to just completely turn me inside out almost, because what had been outside is now inside. So it feels really, really different. I'd like to be able to share my faith a little bit more, but the neighbours are, I don't want to go sending them running because we like our neighbours. So although they know what I am, and sometimes they'll ask, you know, she'll open a conversation and want to talk about religion. But it is religion, it's not faith, it's religion, because her religion is Buddhism. But living on the estate like we are, or the park, the residential park, it's like living in a fishbowl. You know, you can't walk out your house without three or four people seeing you go. Sort of since Pentecost, I've been trying to live my faith just a little bit brighter, and a little bit stronger and a little bit better. So, and people are noticing it, so it's obviously working.
Cool. So, how's that going for you?
Health was the first thing that sprung to mind. There's lots of scary stuff going on for myself at the moment. Lots of tests I've had. So that's the first thing, is my health, and Julie's as well, because we live so closely together, we look after each other. So when one of us is bad, it's not so easy for the other one to look after us with poor health. So that's a big thing. I'm struggling with severe anxiety at the moment because of COVID. The anxiety is huge. When it was first sort of announced and started acting, it was, you know, you see all the movies, 12 Monkeys, pandemic, all of those sort of things, and you think, oh, here we are, you know, we're going to end up like The Walking Dead. So it's taken me a long time to get over that fear being real. And because as the death rates were going up and up and up and up and up, and I'm thinking, oh, you know, where does this end? It looks like we're coming towards an end. The government think we're coming towards an end. But the anxiety doesn't stop with it's coming towards an end. The fear of not having the control and not understanding what they're trying to do, and things like that hasn't helped. Having the slightest release of lockdown has ended up with, like I was saying, the parties over the back, people just walking into shops when you've obviously got a queuing system. So the attitudes of people that have just gone back to almost normal but not scares me. It really does. What normal's ever going to look like? It's never going to be the normal we knew. So mostly for the anxiety, and the fear of what COVID has done, to the past, the present, and the coming future. But God to be providing openings to share my faith, would be good. Obviously, as I said, the neighbour next door is towards Buddhism because he's so wonderful and he cares about nature and animals and people and all this. But she's just not giving me the opening to share my creator, my carer, my loving God, who loves not only me but knows the sparrows by name. And so being given the opportunity to share that faith with both of them. He's very close to faith. He just can't get his head round the reality of the virgin birth. Just not possible. Not physically possible. He's very, very close to understanding and having faith, but still millions of miles away, really. So opportunities to share my faith with my neighbours, and the rest of the residents on the estate. Because we do pass people, they pass us, you know, it's hello and things like that. So just a little bit more of being able to share the God that's now in me, not just around me. I think for God to find me a church to go to once things are opened up, you know, I love being with you guys. And if you could live stream your services when you get back into church. But a church here would be good. We're lucky at the moment that we're actually attending church now twice a week, where for the 18 months before we moved, if we were getting to one church once a month, we were lucky. Julie hadn't gone for nearly 2 years because of her health. So the fact that we're doing church every week now is great. Is that too greedy, do you reckon?
Thank you to my two contributors today. I hope that those of you watching have been blessed by their words and their testimony. Whoever you are, unclean and outcast, powerful and hated, young and insignificant, sick and housebound, loved by God, redeemed by God, and used by God. Each of us is on that journey of faith. We're all his children, parts of his body, and our value and identity comes from him. As we come to the end of our sermon, today's video is a prayer of praise to God. And then we'll sing together.
Evening comes.
Lay tasks to rest.
Thoughts reflecting on the day.
The gifts you give.
The people you trust me with.
What an honour it is
to work within your plan.
You know my name.
For the work you give me, your strength sustains.
Yet I am more to you than instrument.
I am son, daughter, friend.
In my inmost, knit to you.
Inseparable.
Invaluable.
Loved.
Celebrated.
Heard.
Pursued.
Grace abounding.
Found in you.
My work could not win this gift from you.
Let's pray together. Lord, as we head out to our front lines today or tomorrow or throughout the week, may we see ourselves anew in our true identity as your son or daughter, knowing that our value and significance and whole life flows from that fact, and trusting in you for the joy and freedom it brings, and sharing your love with those we meet. As we continue in prayer, Lord, we follow the example of that centurion, asking for your touch on the lives of those closest to us who are in need of you. As usual, if you're live with us, feel free to type your requests in the chat box. Lord, we pray for our society, polarized between fear and fearlessness. Would you bring comfort and peace among the fearful, and compassion and carefulness among the fearless, that we might all be able to live and move around in safety. And grant those in authority the wisdom and the ability to keep us safe. Lord, we pray for our churches as they reach out to a world in need. Strengthen them through the power of your Spirit and keep them in your gospel truth. Lord, we pray for our communities and our nation, that all might come to know you and your kingdom may reign on this earth. Lord, we rejoice in your healing, in your guidance, in your comfort, in your answers to prayer, in the many gifts you give us. Shall we say the Lord's Prayer together? And I'm going to use the newer version, so the words will be on the screen. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours now and forever. Amen. Our final hymn will be I, the Lord of Sea and Sky. And after that, I hope to see you on Zoom.